The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Doing good, doing good.
How's the move going?
How's what going?
The move.
Oh, there's no move yet.
There's no move? Then what's all these boxes?
Nope. Well, those boxes are all flat with nothing in them.
Do you need help?
Nope.
You sure? Well, I can get you some college students over here.
Need some help right now.
Okay. It's psychiatric or otherwise?
A little bit of both.
I did only just so you need otherwise.
Okay.
Everything's good though?
Everything's good though.
What the heck are you talking about?
What the heck about? Are you talking about?
I don't know. Yeah, well. Stuff happens.
Stuff happens.
Sure does.
So what's up, man?
We're podcasting.
We are, barely.
What do you mean?
There's not a lot of time.
Well, the people are still going to get
for the show today. Might this be a double recorded thing in two sessions?
It's possible, but I'm thinking we'll do our best
to thinking.
Give you the show that the folks deserve.
Give them the high quality they're accustomed to.
Depends on your definition of high
quality. The recording always sounds good. Let's put it that way.
Yep. I think the tunes we play are good, and our perspective on whatever topic is...
I think it's a cool show.
I hope so.
They're all lucky to have it.
Yeah. I'm glad it's available, and it's a precursor to what's going to come next.
Ooh. What's coming?
What's coming?
What's coming?
Big JD and Lippo in the video.
Video podcast.
Yeah. We just got to get
you in. We still have no idea what we're doing yet, do we?
Yeah, I think we have an idea.
Oh.
If we play to our strong suits, we'll...
We're going to wear suits?
Birthday suits.
Whoa. That's a film of a whole different kind.
Yes, it is. And no girls allowed.
Okay. Sounds awesome.
No, it doesn't sound awesome at all. Too much sausage for me. We'll call it the sausage show.
It's too much sausage.
You want to call it the
Did
sausage
Did you eat sausage
show?
Recently?
Not recently, no.
Schnitzel?
It was Oktoberfest at Teutonia Club here in Windsor on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
On the weekend.
You didn't go?
I didn't go. No, back in the day, I used to never miss that.
I played those before at the one on Edinburgh there. Mm-hmm. Where is that?
Teutonia.
Teutonia, okay.
Yeah. I might have been to that one. You were there, for all I know.
Oh, maybe.
Like a Wicked Angel thing?
Wicked Angel played it, yeah.
Did you have like...
didn't make any sense to me, but...
accordions?
Of course, yeah. Playing electric with distortion.
Playing
heavy metal pedal.
Playing some polkas?
Polka.
Exactly. It was the Wicked Angel doing polkas. I remember going to a Oktoberfest in Kitchener, and Big Sugar was playing. Same kind of thing, you know, rock show.
Yeah.
At an Oktoberfest doesn't make any sense. And, you know, the guys got their lederhosen on and the girls got whatever they wear, drinking beer out of big steins. And what's his name? Osternak. What's his first name?
Who?
Osternak is his last name. He was like the Juno Grammy winner of the polkas awards all the time.
Yeah. I'm surprised I don't know that.
Walter Osternak.
All right.
And he would sit in with Big Sugar for a few tunes.
That's cool.
And he wouldn't leave. I remember Gordy's...
It's time to go, buddy.
You want to get Walter off the stage, please? Because Walter, he was drinking on a lot as well. But that's funny. Just, you know, the whole culture clash of Big Sugar.
Good name for a band, Culture Clash.
I'm going to guess that it might already be out there.
Culture Club is.
Yes.
I wish I had come up with that one.
All right, we're going to be having some news here. Last night, as we record this on October the 7th, the surviving members of the Alice Cooper Group, which is everything that Alice Cooper did before Welcome to My Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Killer and School's Out and all those
fun great old albums.
Yeah. That band.
All the best stuff, really.
I think so. It's the stuff that I grew up on as a kid.
It was, you know, good Cooper later, but I mean, that early stuff was fantastic.
Yeah. It was, well, as a band, did you watch Super Duper Alice Cooper yet?
No. I'm getting to it. And I want to watch that Ginger Baker thing.
Beware, Mr. Baker.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Still got to go rent that one.
He's got an amazing story.
Who? Cooper?
The Cooper, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were really groomed by...
they were groomed?
Bob Ezrin.
Yeah, right. He did a lot of stuff in his day, boy. Bob Ezrin.
Yeah, and Alice Cooper was the first group that he really took under his wing ever. I mean, he was sent as like an intern to basically tell these guys that, you know, we're not recording you or whatever, you know what I mean? But it turned out Bob liked something about them, but told them that you had to do X, Y, and Z to become a band that's going to have any chance of becoming popular. And they did that. They did put a lot of hard work into it, and they, you know, came up with that first album, whatever that was. The first album, was it Killers? Alice Cooper's? No.
No. He had some old albums from way back.
Wasn't it? Pretty Babies? Is that what's the name of the album, that album?
Pretty's for You.
Pretty's for You, that's it.
Yeah.
I believe that was
that first. And Easy Action.
Oh, right.
I don't remember which one was first, though.
Yeah, one of those.
One two. Of those two was first.
Yep. Yeah. So. Anyway, so the surviving members of that band and the guy's last name Dunaway, he wrote a memoir called Guillotines and Snakes, Guillotines and something else, Electric Chairs.
Okay.
My Life in the Alice Cooper Group.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing a book signing in Dallas, and the rest of the band came out, and Alice showed up, and they did a 8-song set. That would have been an awesome thing to see, for sure. Got any news?
Yeah. Twisted Sister singer Dee Snider fired a new shot in his ongoing feud with Kiss frontman Paul Stanley during a recent appearance on The Real Radio Show. These guys have been at it for a while after Snider came down on Stanley and Simmons for allowing the other two guys in the band to wear the same makeup that Freely and Chris wore.
Right.
Which, I don't know, I think it's dumb, but whatever.
You think those...
And thinking about it, yeah, maybe they should have different makeup because it's not those guys, but then again, that's what Kiss is, these four...
Characters. Yeah.
So, either way, it, you know, not that huge of a deal to me, but to...
Dee Snider.
Make that big of a deal about it? I don't know. But it, you know, it's fun for news.
Well,
and controversy and all
Dee
that
Snider
kind of stuff.
Being the singer from Twisted Sister, that yes, they were popular
and
one time.
He can be a little loud, which is cool.
Yeah, for sure.
So, he's earned that right.
yeah, for sure. Is it Sour Grapes? I'm not sure. Those guys, like Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons, they're huge in terms of money making machine. You know, there's a lot of bands out there that aren't making any money where they used to make money.
Yeah.
Whereas Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons, who basically own the Kiss brand, they're still raking in tons of dough.
The Cure announced initial dates for a North American tour.
Did you like
The Cure at all?
I like them a lot, yeah.
I never got into The Cure until...
Like later on?
Yeah.
I went to I forget what it was. Some radio station put on a music festival at Pine Knob, and I know INXS headlined, but The Cure played before them, and they hadn't played like in a decade. And I remember seeing them there. I was really impressed that they could still pull a lot of those tunes off still. But it's great they're coming back on tour. Glad to see it. I might even go see a show if there's one in the area.
That's cool.
And John Fogerty is still pissed off at the rest of the band, and they're getting inducted. Creedence Clearwater Revival is getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's about time, I'd say.
Yeah, but Fogerty didn't want to play with the dudes in the band. Like, you know,
that kind of sucks, though.
Yeah,
somebody's not with them anymore. It was his brother died or something, or because there was two Fogertys, right?
Yeah, yeah, and they lived most of their life hating each other. Well, I shouldn't hating each other, but just not getting. But
the brother, his brother's dead, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I do believe he was sick, and he died. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what are we going to be talking about today, Big JD?
I don't know. Let's talk about Jimmy Page or something.
JP.
We said we would last week.
Yes.
All right, let's wing it.
I don't think we have to wing it. It's Jimmy Page. And I brought some Jimmy Page with me.
You did?
Yes.
He brought a big coffee table book. It's big, thick, and heavy.
Yeah, he came out with a book. I want to say it was released in November. And I ordered mine like in January, and it took like months to get it. It wasn't available on Amazon, of all places, the place that sells books. So I think the first printing was sold out, and they just had to make more of them. But like you say, it's a thick book, really well made, and it's like a coffee table type thing. It's a good.
Couldn't get a better book on Jimmy Page.
Yeah, it's mostly photos. A lot of
perfect. Who wants to read anything?
Right. Exactly. Like you'll see interesting photos in there, and then he'll give an explanation of what happened. And he was on tour a good chunk of his life, so he just basically goes through a lot of the events that happened during that. I didn't know that just before the shows in New York where they filmed Song Remains the Same that he cut his hand, hand, his ring finger on his left hand was, he cut it bad enough that he had to, you know, work around it.
Hmm.
Probably wasn't the same as far as his playing goes, but...
yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, that sure would.
You know what would be cool?
Would be cool.
If they came out with an audiobook on that book. Yeah, but wait.
Wait?
If he actually thumbed through the pages and talked about the pictures and what was going on at the time, had stories to share, that would be really cool. I bet it would sell.
Probably right. I think you're right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See? See? Laugh at first, but...
I'm working with the amateurs over here. Oh, boy. Yeah, so we're going to talk about Jimmy Page, probably one of my favorite guitarists because Led Zeppelin is probably one of my favorite bands, and he was responsible for a lot of the music, and he just, there was something about him that, you know, whether it was the licks he played or the guitar, the tone, the mysteriousness of him, something.
Do you think he wishes his name, middle name was Marshall, like Jimi Hendrix's?
Jimmy.
Do you think Jimi Hendrix played Marshall because his middle name was Marshall?
Or did Jimi Hendrix play Marshall because Jimmy Page played Marshalls?
Maybe they called it Marshall because he was Marshall.
No, it was Jim Marshall.
Him. Yeah, I know.
Jim.
They were out long before him, weren't they?
I think so.
When did was the first Marshall amp made?
I think it was in the 50s.
We should do something on Marshall amps.
Next week.
The Jim Marshall story.
Oh, the story of Marshall.
Story of Marshall. Not to be confused with Eminem. Marshall.
That is Eminem's name, Marshall.
Ooh, here we go. Some Dragging My Tail. Eric Clapton and Page and Jeff Beck also on this album. Guitar Boogie was a really cool... album back in the day. Nice little blues ending there for you?
Yeah.
Guitar boogie.
White guy blues ending. Because that's what they were. They were all these guys at that point in their life were huge aficionados of blues music. Mm-hmm. And they were all in, before that, skiffle bands, which was based on blues. It had a 12-bar kind of structure to it. So that was, of course, derived from blues. And these guys realized that blues was an awesome genre. And they all tried to, copy what a lot of the old-timers were doing. And this set of guys here, they were all in the Yardbirds at one time. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Not at one time. But yes, not at one time each. Yeah.
Yes. And but they're all.
I think a couple were though at one time, because I think Jimmy Page played bass at some point for the Yardbirds.
He played guitar as well.
Well, yeah, guitar too.
But. Yeah, but yeah, there was interesting personnel changes within the Yardbirds as time went on, and
which those great guitar players came from, Clapton, Beck, and Page.
Yeah. So, but they all got to that point via different set of events, but they're all buddies with each other. And later on, they all reunited in the, which I saw the picture in that Jimmy Page book. There was a tour called the ARMS tour. Mm-hmm. I forget that's an acronym of some kind. It was a fundraising type of thing. And I know, Ronnie Lane was in there as well. And, the second drummer from The Who, what was his name? Kenny Jones. Anyway, yeah, so they all joined each other again. But we're going to hear another Jimmy Page tune. Here we got lots of Jimmy Page tunes. This is a post-Zeppelin tune, and I don't remember exactly what it was.
Someone to Love you got coming up here?
Someone to Love. This is the first thing that Jimmy Page did after Zeppelin, as far as recording an album that he released. Before this, he did after Zeppelin, he made some music for a film. Death Wish 2, I believe it was.
Yep.
But then they came out with the Firm, which is Paul Rodgers and Tony Franklin, Chris Slade, and Jimmy Page. And this is Someone to Love from the Firm.
Always. life. Boy, this is a bloody life. But I have to go along with it, baby. It's a bloody life that I got to live. Taking a chance to get killed out of here. From home, living this bloody life. But I want to know who's taking care of my wife.
It's a bloody life, we heard there after someone to love. And did I say somebody to love before or someone to love?
Someone. I don't know if you said somebody. Okay. It's someone to
it
love.
It is, yeah. Someone to love. Not to be confused with somebody to love.
Queen,
yeah. It's a bloody life. That was Jimmy Page, Sonny Boy Williamson, and Brian Auger from the album Don't Send Me No Flowers.
Don't Send Me No Flowers. I don't know who Brian Auger is, but of course, Sonny Boy Williamson, awesome.
He developed that thing that digs into the ground.
No, that was his dad, I think.
Oh, Mr. Auger.
Mr. Auger to you, yes. Sonny Boy Williamson, awesome harp player. Mm-hmm. That was Sonny Boy Williamson 2 there, but I didn't realize that Jimmy Page jammed with him. Where'd you find
that? He jammed with a lot of people, boy.
Back in the day.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And we're back. Jimmy Page, like, what a story. He doesn't know how to read music, but yet he got his reputation back in England for being a session musician. From his wiki page, Page began his career as a studio session musician in London, and by the mid-60s had become the most sought-after session guitarist in England. He was a member of the Yardbirds from 66 to 68, and he formed Zeppelin after he got out of the Yardbirds, which is a story unto itself. It was basically his band. He was friends with John Paul Jones, who's also had done some studio work, so he was familiar with him as well. And he had a band of his, that was around London as well. And it was Jones who, after they tried somebody else to fill the lead roles, lead singer role within this band that Jimmy Page wanted to form. And it turns out that guy didn't work out. So it was John Paul Jones who said, I know this guy who can sing. And it was Robert Plant. And then Robert Plant knew of John Bonham. So that's how that whole thing got together. And they all became friends with all the other London musicians at the time. It was Kenny Jones was one of those dudes. And Ian McLaughlin, I believe, was another person. And that's the set of dudes. Oh, John Entwistle was also in there, and that's how they came up with the name Led Zeppelin. They just were all hanging out, and they were trying to think of a name for this band. And the idea was that, you know, something is this band has as good of a chance of succeeding as a Zeppelin, which is a dirigible made of lead. So, anyway, we're going to listen to another post-Zeppelin tune here by Jimmy Page. This is from his one and only solo album that he did all on his own with Jason Bonham on drums. This is Wanna Make Love.
And we're back.
I know there's a lot of blue songs over there. I just you got to play a tune of your own in there somewhere, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I don't know what I got here. I guess I could slide something in here.
And oh, I see you wanted to play that song last.
I was going to use that last, but
okay,
it might be a good idea.
Yeah, that's fine.
Play it last.
They're all Jimmy Page tunes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all Jimmy Page stuff. What a lengthy career.
Yeah, see, he did what he loved his whole life, pretty much. Of course, Zeppelin, the stuff that he wrote and the way that his philosophy as far as songwriting went was interesting, in so much that he had it in his head that we're going to jam, and these guys are so good that I'm jamming with that if we start playing something and it sounds familiar, let's get rid of it, I heard him say. So it was always, he always wanted to come up with something original. And back in those days, it wasn't too hard because rock was kind of just starting out. But his original, oftentimes, as people know with the first album especially, he freely took of blues tunes, old blues standards, and wrote riffs around them, but use the same structure as the blues tune. So he got sued later on, obviously, and he ended up having to give millions of dollars back to dudes like Willie Dixon and Sonny Boy Williamson and all those guys.
Shake My Tree.
Shake My Tree, yeah. This is Paige hooked up with David Coverdale from Whitesnake, and this is an awesome album, too. I love this album. It's Coverdale Page. This is Shake My Tree. I don't want to be your slave. You're trying to drive me to an early grave. All I ever hear is that you live and breathe for me. But all you ever do, baby, is shake my tree. But you keep on pushing, baby, like you've never ever been in love before.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And hey, we're back.
Hey, we're back. What did you think of the Coverdale Page album?
I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, I like Coverdale.
Do you like Coverdale? I think people are either on one side of the fence or the other. It was like, David Coverdale, really? He's such a Robert Plant ripoff, a lot of people thought. But meanwhile, he came from
not so much in the early days as much as maybe like kind of later. He was, you know, he was pretty much his own dude way back when, you know, Deep Purple and stuff like that. And I always liked Coverdale. And I like Coverdale on his own after Purple was great stuff, too. Then later on, he you know, and maybe with this whole thing. Coverdale Page thing, you seem to look a little bit more like and maybe be a little bit more like Robert Plant, you know, kind of thing, sort of. But I don't think his stuff later was quite as good, you know. I think that he, like, way later, he had great commercial success and the songs were really good.
What? Who?
David Coverdale.
Later, after what? After...
Well, this isn't the David Coverdale show, but I mean, like, the later David Coverdale stuff, like, Is This Love That I'm Feeling? You know, like, White Snake, all the big hits and stuff, like, or, White Snake.
Yeah, that's White Snake. And that was before this.
Yeah. Which was all good stuff. And then on his own, some of the stuff is like, not as good material. You know, and he just recently came out with that Purple album or whatever, you know, it's a bunch of old Deep Purple songs and stuff. It's pretty cool, pretty good, like really heavied up and stuff like that, but he doesn't quite sing the same either, you know?
Okay, I just wanted to what your opinion was, because people are either on one side or the other.
Yeah, I'm 100% for Coverdale, man.
I liked it because he still, it seemed like, okay, I've been singing really high songs, you know, the operatic and Zeppelin-like songs in Whitesnake, but then when he came up with this, he had this little rasp in it, but yet there was points in the song where he was giving her and he still had what it took to get up there.
Yeah, he's just, he sings lower now, yeah. Like they all gotta.
They all gotta sing. Yeah. So yeah,
voice changes.
Coverdale Page, just a blues album, and it's interesting that he ended up hooking up with him because a lot of people had made parallels between Jimmy Page, Robert Plant and him. That's all because they did that Whitesnake tune where they do the break in it. It was like it was almost like a Whole Lot of Love break. It was a very similar, just kind of spacey sort of thing. What is this next tune here we got cooking?
Well, this is Custard Pie.
Oh, this is Custard Pie from, this is probably one of my favorite.
Great Zeppelin tune.
Zeppelin album, but it's Jimmy Page with the Black Crows. Right. And I honestly don't think that Led Zeppelin can play the way that these guys, because they had three guitar players doing all the parts. So all the parts are in the song, which is cool, which Zeppelin was never able to do because it was only Jimmy on stage. But this is my favorite Led Zeppelin tune with Jimmy Page and the Black Crows playing at the Greek Theater, Custard Pie.
coming up next week?
Yeah. We're going to do the amplifier show or the Marshall show, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, like, absolutely. The Marshall show would be great.
What part they played in the sound of rock and roll for the most part, and the history of the company and stuff that came afterwards.
Yeah, that about the various Marshall line and products, and maybe get a little bit into Black Star, which is amps made by former Marshall employees.
Right. And you're going to get an interview with Jim?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
That'll be easy.
Sure. Why wouldn't it be?
I know. Why wouldn't it be?
So that's going to be next week's show. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. Jeff's got a song here, another song off the Outrider album.
Who does?
Big J. He's got another song here off the Outrider CD, which is, like I said, Jimmy's only solo album. It was just him, and he wrote all the songs. And
Cool Dune. This is a very cool Dune. Prison Blues, cool tune. Lots of guitar. And that's why I chose it today.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. See you next week.
See ya.
I've been a bad boy all night long. Ooh, yes, I have, baby. Yes, I've been a bad boy, honey. I've been a bad boy all night long. She did not even telephone me. I'm gonna leave my little honey like a rabbit leaves the hole. Honey, baby, just like that little bunny rabbit leaves the hole. I got a weasel in my pocket. I'm gonna stick that weasel down my mama. I'm gonna stick it right down that little hole.
get out of this prison, baby. Ah, the only way I get out is climb over the wall. The only way I get out is if I get a ladder and climb over the wall. Prison, honey, baby. Yes, I'm gonna stay in this false prison till the day I die. Till the day I die. I know, baby. Yeah, that's gonna be a great big lie. You know I'm a living in this prison.
Be sure to join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.